welcome to the first live episode of We the People Radio in 2023.
Here we are. We made it.
It's the 8th of January. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Go up and see them if you're looking for a tractor or a mower or implements, whatever. They got a great inventory right now. A yard's filling up. Go up and see them and make a deal. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Or you can give them a call at 530-226-9226. Or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com. Yeah, they got some great deals right now on tractors. You can get 0% financing. A lot of good things happening right now. So go up and see them.
Well, can't say that about everywhere.
No.
You know, there's not always a lot of good things going on, so that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. There we go. All right. Well, you might have noticed the website is different. I tried to make it kind of the same, but it's different. So you may have little challenge finding things. On that front page there, I put this week's show. If you click on that, it'll always take you to the page for today. And you can always find it in the archives as well. I've got the archive listing for today linked. So, yeah, the people we were running the site through decided it couldn't be more than 500 pages. And, oh, by the way, they can't upgrade it. So rather than upgrade 500 pages, I cheated off of Robert, who does our archives. God bless him. So thanks, Robert, for doing that. And they're all on there for you. Collaborative effort, you know. Normally collaboration's a bad thing, but in this particular case, it worked out. So, today we thought we'd start out with sort of political, but not exactly. We thought we'd start out with a political show that was about being productive. What a great idea.
Yeah, I didn't know those two went hand in hand.
I know. It's kind of confusing, isn't it?
Yeah.
We decided...
we don't have to vote on it, do we?
No. With the backdrop of the clown show, we thought we'd do something productive. And it turns out that I know Mark from like almost 10 years ago. We did some teaching back in Virginia when I was involved with the Tea Party, and he was involved with the Center for Self-Governance, which he still is. And... We had all never met. We had a great time. We might have, we might have gone out, had a beer or something, a bunch of us. And I think there was a Waffle House involved at around, 2 o'clock in the morning. It was really funny after all this time, though. It's like, was that you? It's like, was that you? Pretty funny. So you never know where you'll meet people or where they'll pop back up again. But a little bit about Mark, just because he's got kind of a neat background. He is retired U.S. Air Force. Thank you for that. And lives in Washington State, Chesaw, Washington, with his wife, Pam, and children. Mark's the president and co-founder of the Center for Self-Governance, which is a nonprofit, nonpartisan political education and leadership organization. And I forgot to look at when they were formed, but I know it was at least 10 years ago. He's an author, a film producer, a policy writer, and a political strategist and instructor. His political innovations are hailed as 21st century groundbreaking, cutting edge, and self-empowering by elected officials, business entrepreneurs, and parents nationwide. So this isn't just for people who, you know, want to run for Congress. This could be people who want to make a difference at their school board level. And so kind of hits everybody, and they do a really, really nice job. So that's all I know, and it's back to Mark. There we go.
Yeah, you're on your own.
We've exhausted my information. So, except for the Waffle House deal, I'm out.
Yeah, Waffle House. They got to do that again sometime. Those are good times.
It was really funny. It's like, are you the guy from the Waffle House run?
Yeah. Hey, I wasn't the brawl that just happened a couple days in the Waffle House.
I'm just going to mention that. Yeah.
Oh yeah. By the way, we were really nice in the Waffle House.
Got out alive without getting hit
with
a chair.
We were nice. We left it cleaner than we found it.
Yeah. To say we were not drinking and went to a Waffle House, that does sound bad. That makes it sound like we were YouTube material.
That's right. This was a Waffle House with a bar.
Hey,
Waffle House, if you're listening.
Yeah, free advertisement of the day goes to Waffle House.
There you go. Brought to you by vodka. I'm just kidding.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was really fun, though. But those guys in Virginia, they were in the process of flipping Eric Cantor out of his seat back then.
Yes, way back in the day. The first time in history that a majority leader for the GOP had been unseated as an incumbent.
Yeah.
It was pretty epic.
That was groundbreaking. It was fun to be involved in that. They did that huge conference. I don't remember how many groups they brought in, but they brought in groups from all different states. And I think I went back there two or three times. It was really fun. I love teaching at those things.
Oh, yes. It's great to connect with people around the country and figure out what self-governance means and how do we self-govern. Seems to be, in our organization has experienced that self-governance is the first step that we have to take as a culture if we want to save our country.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to disagree. The problem is most people don't know, you know, it's like they don't know how to get on the yellow brick road, right? Where does it start?
Yes, right.
We'd love to go to the Emerald City, but we really just don't know how to get there.
Yeah. I think that the pathway to self-governance starts with understanding what it means. There's two different versions of self-governance. The first is, I do whatever I want. I'm gay, or I'm straight, or I'm Christian, or I'm young and I just want to be free, or you know what I mean, all that stuff. It's that version of self-governance. The other version is where you have to govern yourself first before governing others. And we seem to, our culture seems to be a little bit lacking on that side of the definition of self-governance right now.
Yeah, we're not really promoting that like we used to.
No, it's, but it's coming back into blossom. Every political cycle has a season, right? It's we're blossoming self-governance again, and people are inquiring. Both sides of the political aisle, Democrats, Republicans, everybody, and so supposedly in the middle, are kind of clamoring for what is self-governance and how do we self-govern? I mean, even it's interesting. Even Jeffries, the minority leader for Congress, when he gave an interview, I think this morning or last night, basically says, you know, these people who've taken over and their rules and stuff are going to affect our self-government. And I'm just like, you know, it'd be really cool if we could sit down at the table and say, well, what exactly do you mean by self-government?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What does it mean? And I think that's the first step. What does it mean? And before we can answer, how do we do it? You know what I mean? What
yeah.
does it mean?
It's one of those terms when I had first heard the name of your organization, it's sort of like deceptively simple, but often confused.
Right?
You know?
Yeah. Right now with, Chip Roy, one of the holdouts for McCarthy, got on CNN, again, last night or this morning, I'm not for sure.
Still fundraising,
Right? Still fundraising. And he basically said this is what democracy looks like, because they were really, you know, hammering him pretty hard for what they did with this whole McCarthy. What is it? Is it a fiasco? What was that?
Well, when you show up and want somebody else, but you don't actually have somebody else, that sort of looks like you went off half-cocked.
Didn't exactly have a plan. I mean, a full plan.
Yeah,
they just knew what they didn't want, and let's just stop.
Yeah, this is
the
what
bus.
We don't want, so there we go. It's like, well, you need more than that. So what are you hearing in your area, just out of curiosity?
Well, I got to tell you, so from a self-governance perspective, where you govern yourself first before governing others, you know, what we see in the media and our impression of what happens, I would say it was probably one of the best. It's one of the best chess moves, I think, in U.S. history. But let me explain. So what did they got all these amazing rules, packages, things, and that's what the Jeffries was complaining about in his interview, is like, this is these extreme MAGA Republicans affect our national security, and are affecting the average American. And we have to fight against this extremism. But what exactly did these 20 people get as they went through what I'm going to label, and maybe, Aaron, it's not, I mean, maybe, it, I don't know if it's apparent to most people. I don't know. But what I get out of what happened is just a brilliant chess move. The results are is that Congressman Jim Jordan will be the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. And McCarthy agreed to create a select committee that they are nicknaming the Church Committee. And the Church Committee is based off of the essentially the committees from the 1970s that were investigating the deep state, if you want to call, I don't know what else to call it, the deep state, CIA, DHS, DOJ, sure. FBI, and their weaponization. So they have agreed to this. McCarthy has agreed to this. And that's huge for all Americans. And of course, Jeffries comes out and he belittles that agenda. He's not belittling the other parts of the rules package. The main part that he's belittling is the select committee that's going to investigate with broad jurisdiction the weaponization of the federal government. And if you read through House Resolution 118 and go through that details, I just, on behalf of my students from across this nation, after 13 years of studying the weaponization of labels in government, I can't stress enough how important it is that that committee exists and that it has broad jurisdictional authority to identify the weaponization of the federal government against all Americans. And Jeffries essentially came out to criticize that as extreme. And so I'm just trying to say, beyond the circus that took place, the benefit to the American people, in my organization's opinion, is the creation of that select committee so that we can bring some checks and balances back into Congress between them and the President of the United States and the executive branch that has a lot of executive departments that are doing a lot of crazy stuff to Americans, whether they're ranchers in Northern California or whether there are thousands of parents who've been cited in trespass for showing up at school boards in this last year. It really doesn't matter who you are as an American. Those entities have been weaponized for some reason, and it's important for Congress to get down to get to the bottom of it.
Well, I think there was a lot of interest in doing that anyway. I'm not really sure. Did we have a big coalition that was against that?
Yes.
Enough to change it?
Enough to ensure that it didn't have the Church Committee powers of the 70s.
Okay.
And that's the critical piece. The critical piece is that the broad jurisdiction. Because the speaker and the rules, when they craft that rules package, they can limit the jurisdiction of those select committees, and that's huge because it's separate from the Judiciary Committee,
sure,
but tied to future Chairman Jordan's control of the Judiciary Committee. So, just lots to pay attention to be a part of. I would encourage people who feel that they have been victimized by bureaucratic bullying of any of those federal entities to write an affidavit in one page to describe what, why, and how it happened, and send that to Congress as soon as possible.
So
from ranchers of Northern California,
yeah,
to parents across the United States.
So when they look into the weaponization of say the DOJ. And they find that, yeah, they were out of line, they did a lot of bad things, and so on and so forth. What can they do about it? Because ultimately, doesn't it go back to the DOJ to be investigated?
It depends. There's two pathways. First of all, we've got to understand that our system of government is designed with checks and balances, and those checks and balances are being eliminated. So this select committee reopens that conversation about checks and balances.
Mm-hmm.
right? They weaponized the January 6th committee against the president, the previous president, and then they tried to impeach him twice. And you're like, that is really extreme. It's never been done before in U.S. history to that level of effort. And where are those things coming from? So it's really important that our Congress, our representative body that makes the law, has oversight over what is that and where is that coming from? Why are parents being labeled domestic terrorist extremist? Why are attorney generals in the states introducing commissions, the idea of commissions to their legislators? Why are they doing that? So that is a huge component of the congressional purpose, to bring things to the light, to have the debate, and then introduce solutions with action. Mm-hmm. The second piece is that Congress is broken into two parts, the House and the Senate. The House is where, for example, all the impeachment proceedings began for Donald Trump. And that's where all of the oversight begins in our system of government, is in the House of Representatives, where McCarthy and these 20, and they had this kind of this circus, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Judiciary Committee is the most powerful committee, in my opinion, our organization's opinion, is the most powerful committee to exist in our system of government. Its oversight, in combination with this select committee, have the ability to introduce not only policy changes, but they also have the ability to control the behavior of these executive branches through the appropriations. Because where does the budget begin? It begins in the House.
Yep.
So it's an extremely, just a monumental opportunity. And I think that's part of why this struggle was so important for the American people to see. Because on one hand, the media and those were labeling this as a circus, which on the surface, it certainly looks that way. But underneath the hood, it's such a monumental opportunity for us to work together. And I mean Democrats, independents, and Republicans. Not saying they will, but I'm saying it's such an opportunity, you guys, for our country to work together to make it better. And that's through those two specific things, is the oversight
and
the appropriations.
And there's also the Holman rule, where they can bust a bureaucrat's salary down to like a dollar.
Yes, Aaron, yes.
Dream about that in the local congressional office. There are deep dreams about that. And I don't know of a time that that's ever happened, but I'll tell you what, if you started being able to do stuff like that for cause, not just to be, you know, a jerk about it.
Yes, not for spite, like the January 6th Commission and impeachment.
Where you just make stuff up and then, you know, blame. But if you actually had real stuff, that would be, you know, you color out the outside the lines, you pay. That should be how it goes. You're exacting rules that don't tie to laws, because that happens all the time. And that has to stop.
And that's another key component here, is with the oversight of the Judiciary Committee and the Select Committee's mission, once voted on, and we're going to see if that happens this week, is they're now able to look, because they have such broad jurisdiction, they can look at everything, into everything. And when you read through the resolution to see what they're actually planning to look at, I mean, for me as an American citizen and a part of our organization as a nonpartisan, we're trying to figure out how to fix our system. We've got organizations, nonprofits, that are colluding with these federal agencies to label Americans extreme white anti-government domestic terrorists.
Yep.
Like the Southern Poverty Law Center, for example.
And they've always been so honest before. I don't know what happened.
Right, and we kind of make fun of them.
Because they've always been so dang bad. Well, look at the ACLU. Yeah. They used to care about free speech, and then, well, that all went out the window. Hey, Mark, we have to take a really quick break. Yeah,
yep.
End with the ACLU. People are probably going to need to switch to decaf. we'll be right back. Our guest is Mark Herr with the Center for Self-Governance. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Your name. love you.
Like a burning flame. Yep. Jim Jordan calls your name and you heat up like a burning flame. That'd just be a great committee song right there. Judiciary, the musical. couldn't help it. So
moving forward with this Judiciary Committee, I totally agree. We actually have an opportunity now to make some changes, to start fixing what's wrong. But I think a lot of people are looking back saying, what are we going to do about what's already happened? And these committees don't have any enforcement powers. I mean, they can't, get people arrested, and thank God for that. But I think we have to kind of separate that a little bit, because I'm not sure what's happened in the past. There's a whole lot they're going to be able to do about it.
You're talking about actually getting people to show up and provide evidence?
Well, that, and we all
getting
know
getting them
that,
in trouble.
Yeah, I mean the system has been weaponized, and they've hidden a lot of information. They've, you know, with all this social media collusion, there really isn't anything the House can do about past bad deeds, is there?
Yes. So keep in mind that you and I, we are more aware of things than 6 to 7 out of 10 Americans.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that.
And so you and I can see the systemic problems, right? And we can see the House is going to have limitations. The key, though, for the six, and even we don't need the 6 out of the 10 Americans. We need, essentially we need between 2 and 3 out of those 10 Americans to realize that systemically it's been weaponized against them.
Right.
More importantly is that the hearings are going to stand in stark contrast to the January 6th commission, right? Which is not what got, killed the red wave, right? Which is a whole other conversation, right? They try to blame the red wave on Trump, or the lack of the red wave on Trump and that kind of stuff. But I mean, if we carefully consider this, what happens these next 2 years with the Select Committee and the Judiciary Committee and their ability to investigate and oversight is it's going to continue to expose the weaponization of the system by acolytes of a different form of government who are now operating the controls. And the American people don't know that. You and I know that. We can see that, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can also see the problems with the House and their ability to enforce things. But there are things that they can do in terms of the subpoena power and enforcing the subpoena power. There are things they can do related to appropriations. And they're going to have the bully pulpit for the next 2 years. Now, will the media cover it? I don't know if the media is as influential as they were, 4 years ago when they were faking. People have lost their faith, you guys, in the media. It's astronomical drop in faith in what they're telling the American people, and the American people's belief in what they're being told. And so Jim Jordan's credibility is not damaged by the January 6th committee at all. And notice that no one, like when he stood up to nominate McCarthy the second time, I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch his speech, that was epic. In terms of what he said, the three things and what we need to do, blah, blah, blah. The very first thing he said is that the government has been weaponized against the American people. And that is, if I could say, if anything, the border, critical race theory, gun control, healthcare system, the economy, recession, gas prices, those are important to those 6 out of 10 Americans. those 6 out of 10 Americans don't realize that the system has been weaponized to collapse. And so, anyway, just, and when I say collapse, like, it's not meant to serve them. It's meant to exploit their victimization and to cause them to be afraid of the conversation you and I are having right now on this radio show. We get labeled extremist, right? Right wing, domestic terrorists, all that stuff. And Jeffries follows along with that, repeats that language. And eventually it's not going to just be, you know, Democrat and independent and Republican moms being labeled threats, right? Mm-hmm. It starts to affect every American. So I believe that what we're going to see and what we need to do in support of these hearings is super critical that in your communities and for your listeners, identify anybody who's been victimized in their perception by any of the bureaucratic bullying that's taken place over these last years, okay? And then one-page affidavit, write down why it happened and what happened as succinctly as they can, and get it to their congressman or bypass it directly and get it to the select committee. I can't stress that enough how important that is, because what's happening, and here's another way to compete, right? Rather than the House can't really do anything. Yes, they can if they have data. Okay, so what did the whistleblower tell Jim Jordan, right, from the FBI? The FBI is padding its domestic violent extremism cases, right? Well, what happens when the select committee is flooded with hundreds of thousands of instances where citizens have been bullied by bureaucrats in the executive branch of the federal government outside the purview of the oversight committee? Now, compare that to the padded domestic violent extremism cases from the FBI that are being used to justify what Jeffries is saying is we need to focus on national security because of the extremist MAGA people. Now, wait a second.
Yeah.
That data is padded. Well, then, okay, let's compare data and let's see how many thousands of parents were cited, trespassed, or arrested after the NSBA released their letter in September of last year. How many thousands? And where did that data go to? Jim Jordan and their committee need to find that out, because the Department of Homeland Security has a threat reporting system by which the school boards were encouraged to use a threat tag that Jim Jordan exposed from the FBI. Right?
Yeah.
And okay, and now we know there's a whistleblower says they're padding their domestic violent extremism cases. So there's a conspiracy to label Americans, create criminals so that they can make substantive policy changes. And that's really that is the most pressing thing that we can do for our nation right now is to ensure that we show that the data, or let's at least look at the data. I'm not saying that we manipulate the data in any way, shape, or form. But I can tell you from my experience in traveling the country, I have met with hundreds of parents who have been cited in trespass since September of 2021 after the NSBA released their letter. And I know that the state of Utah, the Department of Homeland Security, was testing a threat reporting system. And when they say the word threat, they're simply saying, oh, you know, just send us your parents who were cited in trespass. So they created a criminal so they could create data so they can make the case that we have a domestic violent extremism problem in the United States.
So they could fluff up their stats.
Right, right.
And we need to encourage our fellow citizens who are just trying to freaking live their lives and raise their kids, put gas in their car and buy some freaking baby for it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But they're being labeled terrorists or threats because they show up saying, why did you just give my child a vaccine without my consent? Or why did you just give my child hormone treatments without the parent? What's going on? And these people, our parents are like, what are you doing? And then instead they're getting labeled threats. That's the weaponization of government. And thank God, and I genuinely mean that on behalf of our nation, on all Americans, literally for all Americans, that select committee will exist. to study the weaponization of our government against our fellow citizens. Super critical. Anyway, I could talk for hours. Sorry,
no,
I'm rambling.
No, no. That's
your job.
I know in the last 2 years, we've just been bombarded with, you know, the January 6th committee, all these programs or all these hearings, and people, I think, are at a point where they're tired of it. They're tired of hearing all this stuff. They want to move on. Do we run the risk of by bringing a lot of this stuff up, which I trust me, I'm not on this side of the page, but of people going, my gosh, give it a break. Let's move on. We've heard enough. We're tired of all the fighting. I think it does need to be exposed. I think people do need to be, like you said, you know, 6 out of 10 don't know what the heck's going on. I think they do need to know what's going on. But do we run the risk of people just losing interest because it's just another fight?
Yeah, absolutely. We absolutely do run the risk.
Fight fatigue.
Yes, fight fatigue. And the American people are, especially the 6 out of 10, are exhausted.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're exhausted, not so much with the election fighting. They're exhausted because trying to figure out, I mean, I'm looking at the gas prices here. They went down right after the election, right? They dropped down like a buck or something, but they're still pre-Biden highs.
Oh, yeah, we're supposed to feel good because now it's, you know, barely $4 a gallon.
The only thing that made me feel good about gas prices was last Friday we were looking back through some old footage on roll call, and we found a little blurb from a speech that Senator Kennedy did, who is always a crowd pleaser. And he was ranting about the gas prices, and he's like, these gas prices are so high, it'd be cheaper for my constituents to buy cocaine and run everywhere.
Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine? Oh, my gosh. American people, everyone just like,
I bet when these people elected, they're like, we have to. Who else is going to be any fun? We owe the country this. We have to send him back.
No, but we are the frog right now.
Because it's crazy. It's just
boiled.
So nuts.
And yes. with fuel prices, you know, we were flirting with $6 a gallon gasoline, and people were like freaking out, like, what am I going to do? And now it's dropped down to, you know, $3.80, $3.90. I don't know what it is where you are, but in California we're over $4 a gallon again, and it's like, well, gosh, at least it's not $6.
Yeah, people are happy.
It's like, no, we shouldn't be happy with that. It needs to go back to a buck and a half, or, you know, whatever the real price is. That's what's going to make me happy. Not I'm paying under $4. That's still ridiculous.
They're paying 40% to 60% more for milk and other necessary food items for their children. And so they're having to sacrifice decision making about what kind of fun they want to have, or, you know, the American dream stuff. And they're busy struggling, and then they're being treated. And here's the key. I think the key to your question about the fight fatigue is we have to demonstrate to our fellow citizens in our community that somebody is treating all of us like a chess piece, and we're being exploited to be divided from one another unnecessarily, but for some kind of agenda. And this agenda is tied to this weaponization of the federal government. And you can see, you can literally make it clear to them in their community, how many parents do you know that were cited and trespassed for expressing their concern about their children's education or something related to their education or upbringing? How many people do you know in your community have been labeled a white supremacist, and you're like, I've known them for years, and that's not who they are, right? How many people in your community have been labeled, you know, and treated by bureaucrats and by non-government organizations just in the worst way, trying to destroy their livelihoods?
Oh, yeah.
How many of those people? And so our uniting banner here is that this is something that affects all Americans in each of our communities, and that this is your opportunity to bring to the light the people in your community who have been victimized by these things, to pass on their stories, and to be a part of making a difference, especially at the federal level. when it comes to the budget, when it comes to oversight, when it comes to what are they doing. And then for those of you who want to go further than that, right, you're just like, because there's people who are just going to be like, I just want to watch Kim Kardashian. Can we stop? You know,
she's still a thing.
Right? She's a thing, all right.
No, we have to take a break on that one.
Okay,
that's it.
Yeah,
Mark. Forget it.
I need to take a break too.
You said Kim Kardashian. We have to stop. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, we have to stop.
Oh, that's crazy. All right, so we'll be right back. Our guest is Mark Herr from the Center for Self-Governance. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's got the power, and you're so weak, and your frustration will not let you
You're bad.
They could play that at the hearing, too. I'm coming up with a, you know, kind of a playlist for them. the Untouchables. There was a lot of good music back in the day. We had no idea what the application would be currently. It just continues to surprise me on how prescient their lyrics were. Okay. We had talked about the layer cake idea. Is this a bad time for that? It's a bad time for the layer cake thing?
Hey, we talked about Kim at the end of the...
Oh, that's true. I guess
now we can jump into some cake.
We should talk about cake then. That actually does kind of segue nicely. But I thought it was such a good way for people to wrap their head around it, because honestly, if we don't help everybody, you know, or give people an avenue to be productive... they're likely going to be either frustrated and step aside and just shine the whole thing on, or be unproductive.
Right. Well, and be completely frustrated that, you know, the typical comment is, you know, what does my voice, what can that one person do? I don't have time. I hate politics. You know, I in our training, we talk about politics. What is politics? Most people think that politics is just a bunch of evil politics, because who wants political Lyme disease anyway, right? And so we avoid it is our natural instinct. But actually what we're doing right now on this call, and what we do at our home at the kitchen table, we practice politics, just not in the form that we traditionally think of, like McCarthy and the holdouts and Jeffries and the media. Politics starts with ourselves and our those who are closest to us. We use words with strategy to control things, to influence things, right? And when we disengage from the community and society at a large, what we don't realize is that the meaning of words eventually reaches us, like the COVID lockdowns. People are shocked that it actually reached into their home, right? It reached into their business, like the young lady in her salon in Texas, right? She ended up arrested. She's like, I have to open up my salon to feed my kids. And the judge says, I'll drop the charges if you acknowledge your selfishness. You're like, what?
Is that a thing? Since when is that a thing? Selfish.
Yeah, when is that a thing? She's trying to get money for her kiddos. Well, obviously, they assume that, you know, she could send them to the school and they would provide three meals a day. But this idea of what system of government we have and how do you engage with your politics, you have to ask yourself the question, what kind of political cake do you like? You're like, what? there's essentially two kinds of political cakes out there. There's marble cake and layer cake. You think of the marble cake, everything's mixed together when you slice it open. You think of the layer cake, everything is divided and it's separate and distinct. Well, our system of government was designed to be a layer cake. In other words, checks and balances between Congress and the executive branch, which was the question at the beginning, is how do we hold them accountable? What do you do? I mean, they're not going to listen. You know, all those are all symptoms of problems with the system. Problems with the cake. How about that? Right. And so what kind of cake do we want? And then how do we bake the right kind of cake? What does it take to bake the right kind of cake? You have to choose. Am I for marble? I want it all mixed together. I want the federal government and the state governments to, you know, do all this stuff together. Do I want the executive branch to basically run the government, not Congress? You know, that kind of stuff. How do you want it to function? And then the second piece of it is like, okay, do you want to be a part of baking the cake? Do you just want to eat it? You want to have your cake and eat it too?
Yeah, right?
Right. Or do you want to be a part of the baking? And that's where our organization comes into play. We teach leaders in self-governance who want to be a part of baking the cake into our culture. And being a part of this process of having this discussion like we are right now. What kind of cake do we want? Do we want a cake where it's all mixed together and the controls are blurry and you feel like your voice doesn't matter? Or do you want a cake where the lines are clear and distinct and you have choices, levels of government, there's clear, transparent lines of where you need to go to take care of that thing or to be a part of influencing this part? And I don't know if that helps explain it as simply as I can, but what kind of cake do you want to eat and do you want to be a part of baking that cake? And our organization, that's the main reason we exist.
I think that makes a lot of sense, because if people understand the concept, you can put the pieces to it. But what happens is people are all the pieces are thrown at them, but there's no big picture.
Yeah.
And without that,
hitting them every day, right? It's like they're getting bombarded with this nonsense every day. And it's like, where in the world is this coming from? I made a presentation it's on our website, 20 minutes, but it's called The Hidden Man Who Changed Your World. And this guy, essentially between 1902 and 1950s, he created the structure for baking marble cake. And so when you say, well, why are the school board members doing this? Or why is Congress acting like that? It's not because they are the masterminds. It's because their human nature is being exploited. And without self-governance, this is what it looks like, right? This guy is the mastermind, I would say, who implemented the structural changes needed based on our human nature. And we're simply, it's kind of like a karate. We're just simply having our weight used against us. If it's okay, our website, I can give them where to go to watch that if they want to. So centerforselfgovernance.com/3MCF. Four letters, 3MCF. centerforselfgovernance.com/3MCF. There's a 20-minute presentation on the hidden man who changed your world. And it essentially introduces them to this marble cake, layer cake stuff, and where this is coming from. Not because there's like this, you know, cabal conspiracy people in their dark hoods sacrificing sheep, you know, in the middle of the night. No, they just simply believe in a different form of government. Their human nature is exploited, and they're playing the game to maintain their power and control. And so this is what they do. Miriam just said, hey, you know what? I understand their human nature. I don't like the original system of the United States. This is my strategy for converting it. And this guy implemented his – he was allowed to by four presidents of the United States to make all these changes and convert us from the layer cake to the marble cake and then figure out all the recipe ingredients to bake it into our culture.
Mm. I just think that that kind of focus is going to be really, really important, because people are starting to think that, you know, the best source of information out there is, you name it, but, you know, like Steve Bannon's War Room or, you know, all these things, and they have all these choices. And so you kind of get hooked on the personality that you like, and then they tend to be the source. But, you know, I have people send me stuff like that, and I'm like, that's not even real.
So my Q drops aren't the best source.
And there's that. And there's that whole thing.
And I loved your meme you sent me the other day. Was it Buffalo Dude?
Yeah, it was the QAnon Shaman. Yeah. In an overnight vote, QAnon Shaman becomes the Speaker of the House. But they called him Buffalo Guy.
Buffalo Guy, there you go, yeah.
Buffalo Guy is Speaker of the House. And it's like, yeah, well, we're kind of there.
We do have information overload, you know what I mean? And it is hard to siphon through what's valuable and what's just entertainment. Like, I mean, you know, when you're watching a movie, I mean, if you think about it, a movie is disinformation anyway. It's fiction, or it's according to the person who made the film. So, I mean, you're already in, you know, it's affecting your serotonin levels and your entertainment. So, yeah, we gravitate toward those we like. But in terms of, like, truth, you know, you stop drinking water, you're going to die. That's just a fact, man. So, hey, we need to get some water here, too. And maybe every once in a while, let's go meet up at the Waffle House bar, right? Right?
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, right? What's wrong with that? You know, I tell one of my fellow co-founders, he used to go around saying, they would say, would you like a glass of water? He's like, oh, no, I'm trying to quit.
I don't know. So when you get down to, you know, people's communities and their, because you guys do training for that too, right? School boards, board of supervisors or commissioners, whatever your area does. And kind of, how to field those candidates, or basically, give me a sketch on what you lay out for folks in that. Is it before you find the candidate or after, or both?
It's all before, because our focus is on those Americans who are either see the pain or feel the political pain and are trying to figure out what's going on. Like, you know what I mean? They're like Neo in the Matrix. They just woke up. Mm-hmm. And they're like, whoa, what's going on here? You know, my eyes hurt.
I was at a meeting the other night, and the one guy goes, I was red-pilled. He's like, I never take anything pharmaceutical. It's like, okay, you didn't see the movie, did you?
You didn't see the movie.
He was very upset that this guy was taking these pills. It's like, no, because he was trying to get everybody else to do it.
Sure, right? We're you know, again, you're just, that just emphasizes this whole thing. Is like, we're trying to communicate with 300 million people.
Yeah.
And, of course, whoever controls the meaning of words, and what the vast majority thinks it means, they pretty much control society. And so we focus our training on those moms and those business owners, who are also moms, like the single mom in Texas. And we focus on, those ranchers or whoever, it doesn't matter. Whether they're Democrat, Independent, or Republican, if they're an American, or even if they're here visiting from other countries, they want to learn self-governance. The first thing is it's the reason they're there is because they're curious about, number one, I see a problem, but I don't know how to fix it. And so if you think about this, it's like when your body has a pain, what's the first thing you do, right? The very first thing you do is you either try to figure it out yourself, and then you find out how much you don't know how your body works. You know what I mean? And so then you go trust the current health system, right? You go put yourself in there and say, hey, I've got this problem, and then will you guys troubleshoot it and fix it for me? No. What we do is we take the average citizen and we say, what's the symptom? And they say X, critical race theory, comprehensive sex education, diversity, equity, inclusion, social, emotional learning, transgender, you know, you just named the laundry list.
Yeah.
They say, okay, what can we do for you? And most of them will say, can you help me fix my pain?
Yeah.
Can you give me an aspirin to take away my headache?
Hold that thought, Mark. We're going to fix the headache after the news. We're going to give people some little news there to make sure that they have a headache. We're talking to we're speaking with Mark Herr from the Center for Self-Governance, and we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People.
Things aren't always just what they seem. I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love, I'll find it there.